glory. From you, Jesus, all grace, all truth. That's who you are. And thank you, Lord, you're in us. And us in Christ. And He in the Father. Thank you for the oneness that you finished on the cross. In Jesus' name we give you all the praise. Amen. I thank the Lord for the word. I thank God we come in here by the grace of God to hear the word of God. I thank the Lord for the word that pours forth by His Spirit. And I thank God that it's coming forth this morning. I'm thankful that if you've been here any length of time, you know that God has graced us to gather with a love for the truth. And I thank the Lord that it is the whole counsel of God by His grace that we're after. Our boast is in the Lord. It's not in man. Our boast is in the Lord. And I thank God when we speak of Him that He wants us, praise His name, to know His will. He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to know all the love of Christ. Praise His name. And I thank God in that He understands that what He's dealing with. But I thank God for the power of His might, the Holy Ghost, that you know what? He'll make you even get over yourself. Amen. And I thank the Lord that He's for us to understand the purpose of our life and the purpose of the good pleasure of His will. And I thank the Lord this morning that we're going to talk about the arrangement of the ages and the purpose of what the Lord is about to do. There is judgment coming. Oh, yes, there is. But first, before the judgment, there is a gathering that's coming. Amen. Oh, yes. And it's a gathering, praise God, of His people. It's about ready to take place. Yes. A resurrection. Rapture. Oh my. Now, I'll tell you this. He's getting ready to call His sons home to glory. He's getting ready to call you. Call you. Praise God. And every man is going to be in his own order. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, yes, every man's going to be in his own order. That means his own rank. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming." Isn't that beautiful? Speaking of this precious resurrection, in one verse he really describes everything about. If you know, as praise the Lord, sweet Tammy spoke of that mystery. If you know about Paul's mystery that was given to him of Christ in the church, the bride that Jesus Christ will have, that verse just opens up in infinite glory. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming, then cometh the end." Isn't that beautiful? He's going to gather up His fruit. They're going to be with Him. Amen. "Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet." Now, let's not be concerned. God will not be mocked. Judgment is coming. But let's be focused on the gathering. Amen. Now, these are ranks we're talking about here. If you go on over into the book of Revelation, it clearly defines each of these ranks. Revelation chapter 4, you'll hear, you should hear, the sound of the first trump. Oh, yes. There's the voice of God. Man, I'll tell you what, John has to turn back. He turns around, he hears, praise the Lord. There's a calling, and that's the calling of that first trumpet that's about to blast. That's the same one that you read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The ark, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the voice of the bridegroom. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, yes. Now, at that moment, the throne room is opened in Revelation 4. The very first thing that you see is that wondrous throne, so beautiful. And there is our precious Lord. And immediately thereafter, you see these 24 elders sitting right around on thrones with crowns on their head. The very first company of saints that you see there. You'll find as you study that out, those are the full overcomers of the Old Testament. You see them very clearly. Those are the friends of the bridegroom. They're the cloud of witness that's always been. Praise be to God, and there they are. They were taken up into glory and given those wonderful glorified bodies. Matthew chapter 27, it says there that many of the saints arose as the Lord opened those graves. Bible just tracks right along perfectly. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. Beautiful. Just take it for what is there. Let me tell you something, those full overcomers, they're with Christ. Those Old Testament glory ones, those ones that we rejoice of in Hebrews 11, they're there. Amen. Oh, yes, they are. And all they're there for is waiting right now, the friends. As it also says in the gospel, they're waiting for the voice of the bridegroom. It's beautiful. Moves on right away. Goes right back to that midst of the throne. So it sees the throne, sees the ones that are around it, but then boom, now it's back into the midst of the throne. Bible shows us another company, the four living ones. Oh yes, glorious. Spoke of them back in the prophets, whether it was Isaiah and Ezekiel. You see those beautiful ones, the cherubim. And how glorious. They're just like Christ. Describes them in the exact beauty of the Gospels, each of those four. They have eyes within and without. They see, they rule and reign. The beautiful thing about them is they worship. They're the worshipers. They're the ones that have drawn nigh in fervent love to kiss him. Not waiting for it up there, they're doing it right now. That's why the bride has made herself ready. So you have that beautiful arrangement right there. Boom. There was the trumpet. Boom. There you look at it, and there it is. Now that's the only two companies you see until you get to chapter 7. Chapter 7, here comes, this is after the tribulation has moved on, probably a year, year and a half. Here comes the innumerable multitude. And there they are, glorious. But they're not in the midst of the throne. They don't have crowns on their head. They're standing before the throne, waving palms, singing and saying salvation to our God. I thank the Lord. I'm grateful for that. But I'm grateful for Paul's gospel because we have now grown wise unto our salvation. We've even grown by the grace of God to go on with that wondrous salvation to the heights of it, salvation with eternal glory. Amen. Well, we're still not done yet because we have another company that's going to show up. But we have to go all the way to Revelation chapter 14 and then come the 144,000. That precious remnant, God in his faithfulness, that he would witness to those wondrous ones. 12,000 out of every tribe. And there they're sought and pursued to be killed. See, they think that the Jew is hated today. They thought that the Jew was hated even in the Holocaust time. The Word of God says that there is a hatred that's coming towards the Jew, that they're going to come out again and they'll all turn against them. Amen. To take them out. Now I'm just, again, giving you the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God says, but those days be shortened, there'd be no flesh left upon this earth. Amen. And if you don't see that hatred right now in this world, I don't even know what to say. But you got to pull your head out of the sand. I'll get a card about that, I'm sure. Now, the Lord is so faithful, He reveals this order, this wondrous order. He reveals it through His word. And I will say this. Revelation goes on, and it takes us right into the millennial time too. And that's when Israel will completely reign. Oh yes, beautiful time. They'll reign. Jerusalem will even be the capital. This is important to understand, because where we're going is we're going right to the Christmas story. Because this order, see, the Lord loves to remind us with prophecy. He's so beautiful to do that. If you're really going to look for His appearing, if you're really going to look for His appearing, you'll see it. And He'll show you throughout the wonderful stories in the Word of God. He weaves that beautiful prophecy in the Word of God. And it's a masterpiece. It's what Paul was given, this dispensation, this mystery that was given to him to reveal in such wonder the beauty of what Christ is coming for. And what you can have, and the whole intent of Him giving His precious life on that cross was for you to have that place of glory with Him and for Him. Now, this order is seen so perfectly at the time of His birth. Just as He drew those ones to Him to see His birth that were looking for Him, yeah, that loved Him, He's doing that today. Turn back as we were in Matthew chapter 2. A little different today. You best have your Bible. If you don't have one, scoot over by someone who does. Remind them that that could be the greatest gift that they could give anyone today, sharing the word of God. All right. Let's read verses 1 through 12. What we have here as we start this, these are the wise men. And I want you to think of this as the order of the Word of God, that God gives us Scripture. See, it's just like the epistles that were given to Paul. Probably the very first one that was given is Galatians. That was the first one that he wrote. But it's not the first one you find in the Word of God. Matter of fact, you come to Romans first. It was written later, maybe the third or fourth letter that he wrote. But in the Word of God, it's the first epistle. Those that know the Word of God, you best read Romans first. Amen. You best know Romans for everything. There's a perfect order. People will say, well, man did that. Oh, no, man didn't do that. God did it. Amen. God has preserved this word so perfectly, so exactly. That even that one, I appreciated that man, that set out to do his doctoral thesis at Oxford to prove that the Bible was bunk and wasn't true. As he got to just looking at the historic fact and the beauty and the transcriptions, nothing. This has been transcribed 20-some thousand times. There isn't even a book that's even close to that. I think it's Homer's Iliad or Odyssey or whatever it is, maybe 400 times. It has error after error after error. This thing was a wonderful masterpiece. It was transcribed 20-some thousand times. And in that, praise the Lord, it's somewhere around 90-some, 98, 99% exact in every transcription. Hallelujah. Now, how did that happen over a couple thousand years? Jesus, God. See, He reveals Himself even in that. All right. Let's go ahead and read verse 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. I'm going through this quick. Ones with a vision. And they came from the east. They came from the place of the sun and stars. Isn't that beautiful? Saying, where is, see, they were looking for Him, saying, where is that, is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star. They saw that glory. They saw that sun glory is really what that star means in the east, and are come to worship Him. Worship Him. They're coming to worship. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ would be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule over my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and then when you find him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. See, that's that glory. See, this glory just keeps drawing us, doesn't it? It went before us till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This is gorgeous. See, these are the first ones listed here in chronological order. You know, the order of the scripture and the word of God, the books and how they're arranged. The first ones, they literally are the stars from the east that are seeking the sun glory. And they're coming to worship. See, that's just like what we just went through with that appearing of those companies in Revelation. In Revelation 4, you had the appearing, praise God, of those four living ones that were in the midst of the throne. They're the royal ones. They were the ones coming to rule and reign. They were the ones that were coming to worship. So we have this precious encouragement that this bridal company, they arrive first. And they're the worshipers and they're reigning on thrones. And I love this too. They departed a different way. Do you know the bride's going to depart a different way? Oh yes, they are. They're going to depart with a blast. A trumpet blast. Praise the Lord. And see, people that don't really want to receive that kind of thing, that even understand somewhat of the word of God. I believe there was a guy named Enoch. And he was the first guy who departed a different way. Do you know that? He just went, where did Enoch go? And why? Was it because he was a good guy, a famous guy, because he was the most righteous looking guy? It said really short, succinct, and beautifully. He walked with God. He walked with God. I tell you what, Elijah, he departed a different way, did he not? See, the Lord, he throws these things in there. Oh no, he doesn't throw these things in there. He puts them in there. He places them in there exactly to them that are looking for him. You're looking for him? Look for him. I'm telling you, look for him. You'll be sad if you don't. We're going to get to that group in a second. But those ones that are looking for him, they're never disappointed. Amen. They're never disappointed. Because the one thing about God, he does exactly what he says. He cannot deter from his word. It's exact. Those wise men knew. They knew that scripture. We talked about it last week. They knew those things in prophecy and the word of God. They knew that there was a star of Jacob that was coming. And it came, and they saw it, and they went after it. And you know what happened? They saw him. Paul's gospel is shining in your life that way too. And you've seen it. Are you pursuing it? And those that do, he's going to appear. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, my. Going over to Luke chapter 2. Now we get to the next group. We had the ones that were the worshipers. Now we get to the shepherds. All right? Let's read verses 8 through 20. We don't know if we're going to be here another week or two anyways. We might as well do the whole story. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Look at that. Notice what the wise men were doing. Notice what the shepherds are doing. Wise men had a vision. They were moving towards it. Amen? Okay, the next group we get to is the shepherds. They're abiding. It's wonderful. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. And what happens to them? The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Wise men were seeking glory. There was just real glory around about them. Kind of reminds you of them, innumerable multitude. The glory was before them, and they waved the palm. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. A little different reproach there, wasn't it?
Amen.
Wise men weren't afraid. They knew what they were going for.
Yeah.
This hit them, and they were afraid. And when the angel said unto them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That wondrous salvation, there it is. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Oh, a multitude. Look at that. And saying, "Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing." Wise men go to worship him.
Amen.
Shepherds are going to see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So, once again, we had the wise men that were seeking out his appearing, whereas the shepherds were abiding in a field. The wise men were following a star, but the shepherds were fearful when the angel appeared. It kind of reminds me of that innumerable multitude. When they arrive into heaven in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, you know what the first thing that happens for them? There's a tear that has to be wiped from their eye. Let me tell you something. God forbid if any of us have to come out of that tribulation. It'll be a fearful time. It'll be a time you did not have to go into.
Amen.
And it's not the motivation of fear that's going to keep you from it. The motivation is love. He loves you. This isn't something to worry about. Am I in the bride? Am I? No. Brides don't worry. They know that their husband's in love with them. I never had a bride, married one over these last 15 years that was wondering, is my husband going to show up? You think he's going to be there? My goodness. If anybody was confident, it's a bride.
Amen.
They're confident that husband loves them. And he's there early. If he's been late for everything, he's there early. I'm not missing this. And we got a husband, praise God, that's looking through the lattice right now. That keeps bugging his father 24/7. Right at his right hand. That's the only thing Jesus doesn't know. Do you know that? He does not know the hour or the moment that the Father's going to send him. Isn't that lovely? And the Bible specifically tells us that the only thing that Christ does not know is the moment the Father will say, "Son, go get her."
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Wake up.
Hallelujah.
Just wake up. Wake up. It's so tremendous. This is the Word of God. You don't need to try to make this. It just is this. Settle down in the Word of God. Hear these things. Praise His name. The shepherds in verse 15, what did they say? Let us go and hear. The wise men said, let us go and worship. Wise men already have a vision. They're drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. The shepherds realize it after they see Him. I'm glad I know now. I know that I know. I love it.
Amen.
Because he wills. He said, I will you to know. And he that wills to know will know the will of God. This is his will. I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. Where are we? Well, I just don't really feel like being in the will of God. How silly that sounds. I mean, we're talking eternity. Why wouldn't you want to be? You spend your wills for this life, I'll tell you, it's fleeting. It's a moment. It's a breath. It'll be forgotten. All of this is going to pass away. You can pat yourself on the back a trillion times. And no one will ever remember it. Even you. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Now, the shepherds, they glorify, praise God, just as the innumerable multitude did. Just like the innumerable multitude is going to wave a palm and sing salvation. By the grace of God, Lord, cause me to be a worshiper. That bride, praise God, full of wisdom of the glory of God. Let's move on to the next ones that are drawn to him. Oh, we find them right there in chapter 2. Go on over to verse 25. Here comes a fellow. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is really beautiful here. Now we're bringing in Israel. Here comes a man in Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, the very first thing you notice about Simeon is he's a Jew. He's a Jew. So we had these wise men that were from the east. We had these shepherds. And there's no really description of anything that they are in that regard. So we can really see that they're Gentiles.
Amen.
Amen. We're getting to the third company. This is the 144,000. Praise the Lord. And isn't this beautiful? Because the consolation of Israel is what exactly is spoken of in Isaiah 66 that's coming for Israel. And God starts to bring this about with that 144,000. See, when he starts to turn back to the Jew, even though that's the finishing of the church, those three companies, the bride, the innumerable multitude, and the 144,000, there's your church. But when he deals with those 144,000, he's showing and he's giving that sign, I'm turning back to my people. I'm faithful. I'm faithful to that unfaithful wife. She's going to be faithful again. And oh, what comfort. That's what consolation means. That's this comfort that's coming. See, Simeon prophesies of Israel. And isn't it interesting? Because the 144,000, see, they're pursued to be killed at this time of the tribulation. I mean, they're sought like you can't believe to be completely destroyed. But they're taken out into the wilderness and they're hidden. And a matter of fact, it says that their birth during that time, that woman that's seen, which is, praise God, the church, waiting for that to come forth. And that 144,000 is birthed, 12,000 out of each tribe is birthed at that time, probably about a year and a half into the tribulation time. And the Lord has to protect them because they've turned to Christ. They're that precious little remnant. And the enemy comes on and he thinks he's got them and whoop, they're gone. And in chapter 14, it shows that they're in heaven praising God. Well, isn't that what it said about Simeon? He said he did not see death until his eyes saw Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, come on now. It's all right. You can praise the Lord around here. We are appreciative. All right. We still got one more thing. This leads us to the last. And I appreciate sweet Dean. Anna. So we see we have the three companies of the church. They're there. Here's the last going on. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. We're right back there into that encouragement of the Jew. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for what? This is different. Redemption in Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I love the Lord. Your first time here, praise God. Great age that lived in the temple. Jesus has always loved his people. God the Father has always loved his people. You understand that. We know that. Another Jew here. And what did she do? She gave thanks. She came at the last. And what is she looking for? What is she speaking? Redemption in Jerusalem. She speaks of the establishment of Jerusalem, the capital of the world, which will be in the millennial time and going forward. Isaiah 62, Isaiah 65, Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. Christ's going to take the throne of God and rule for 1,000 years. And when he hands back that throne to the Father to reign with that faithful wife Israel for all the ages. Now, even in this Christmas story, he lays this perfectly out for you. He teaches you that here's your three companies. Here's the millennial time of Israel. I look at the Lord and I just say, Lord, you're just too amazing. And I mean that. Amen. I thank God we come in here giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Aren't you thankful that we know this and we've heard this? But aren't you thankful as you keep looking for this, he'll continue to reveal it to you. And those that keep looking for it, that have it kept revealing to him, those are the wise men. Those that looked for it for a time and said, well, I've seen it, they're not looking for it. Really hear this. He loves you. He's so good. He's faithful to remind us. He loves us and is doing everything in this wonderful word through the Holy Ghost for us to wake up out of slumber. Amen. He appeared to them that were looking for him at his birth. Amen. Every one of those that were looking for him, you know what? Every one of them saw him. And we have now that wondrous encouragement that those that are looking for him a second time, he's going to appear. He's going to appear. Let's bow our heads. Father, we do just give you all the praise and the glory. We thank you again in Jesus' name for this wondrous word. We thank you that, Lord, by your Spirit, we just magnify him. Thank you for revealing these things to our heart. Thank you for making this so real. Thank you for showing us your passion. Thank you, Lord, that you're trying moment by moment. Wake up, my love. Wake up, my love. I love you. God, help us to not be those that have left the first love and have fallen and lit in an eye to slumber, our hands to fold. Lord, in Jesus' name, quicken our hearts today. God, you are so truly amazing. And we thank you and give you all the praise forever and ever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
That would like to come and worship, come on up, brother.